In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would enter into wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. We are here this Sunday on the first Sunday of Lent. All, I think, a little discombobulated by the time change and the liturgical changes. It's actually a good way to start Lent. The Church gives us this season every year as a gift, but it is up to us to accept that gift. And unless we know we are blessed, unless we feel in our bones that God loves us, it can be really difficult to welcome Lent as a gift. Lent can be a time for us to explore our hunger for God and to deepen our relationship with God. As St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Lent can be a time for us to quiet our restless hearts in the love of God. So Lent is a time set apart in the Church, and we can set it apart in our lives as well if we choose. It is a time to slow down. In our liturgy, this is reflected with more silence, fewer ornaments. We have no flowers, no organ postludes, and no alleluias in Lent. And we have prayers that are more penitential. Lent is a good time for us to take stock of our lives. And most of us do not do this on our own. That's why this season of Lent can be a great gift. We are invited to take this journey as individuals and as a community of faith. Can we accept the opportunity and the challenges of Lent? One reason that it can be difficult for us to welcome Lent as a gift, unless we really know we are loved, is because we spend a good deal of time in Lent focusing on sin and our own brokenness. Now, there are many definitions of sin. Sin is forgetting who we really are, God's beloved children. Sin is denying our connectedness to one another and to all of creation. Sin is doing something that separates us from God and one another. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is cooperating with evil. We believe that it is impossible for human beings not to sin. It is only possible for us to sin less often. So in our baptismal vows that say, "Will you persevere in resisting evil? Whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord," we answer, "I will, with God's help." So a question for us this Lent could be, what can I change about the way I live my life in order that I may sin less often? Sin is both individual and corporate or institutional. That is, we can participate in sin of an individual nature, such as spreading a vicious rumor about someone, for instance. And we all, by virtue of being human, participate in sin of a corporate nature, benefiting or being hurt by an unjust system or institution. All of us sin knowingly and unknowingly, by commission and omission, as we say, and so we confess things done and left undone. The New Zealand prayer book puts it this way: may we cease to be a source of suffering for one another. It is only by knowing God's love for us that we have the courage to confront our own sin. So Lent is a time for us to explore our desire, our hunger for God. Lent is also a time for us to hear that God hungers for us. Jesus was hungry for God. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, fasting and praying for 40 days, Jesus remembers God's love. He remembers who he really is, God's beloved. And so the devil has no hold on him. There are three temptations. They are actually very crafty temptations. The first one might seem really not so much a temptation at all. You are hungry. You've done so well in the desert. Why not make yourself a nice meal? You can do it. It would be so easy. Just turn this stone into bread, the devil says. The devil is playing on the very human temptation to do whatever it takes to survive, or to have what we think, anyway, is security. How are we tempted by our desire for security? Jesus is famished, 40 days of fasting, but he knows that survival and security are worth nothing if they are not rooted in God. Later, Jesus will perform a miracle in order to feed thousands of hungry people. But now, he remembers his true hunger for God. He is not taken in. One does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So the devil turns up the volume, the second temptation. You can have glory and authority over the whole earth right now, a special kind of power. Why wait? All you have to do is worship me. The devil is playing on the human temptation to want power and control. All you have to do is read history or even turn on the news one day to see how we humans often do horrible things in order to get power and control. But Jesus sees through this. Later, God will give him honor and glory, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. But now he remembers who he is. He remembers his hunger for God, and he passes this temptation by. The last temptation is interesting. You are special, beloved by God, above all others. God will protect you. You are invulnerable. Why not prove it to everyone? The devil is playing on the human temptation to be special, but to be more special than anyone else. And some humans do things we should not do in order to try to prove that we are more special than others. Later, Christ would willingly become vulnerable, putting aside his divinity, dying on the cross. Even then, God does not protect Jesus from death. But because Jesus dies, death itself is destroyed forever. Now, though, Jesus remembers his hunger for God. He remembers who he is. He remembers God's love, and he does not need to prove it. He does not put it to the test. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are. Beloved, named by the one who has traveled the path before you, Jan Richardson. Jesus knew that he was God's beloved son. He kept his connection to God in focus through fasting and temptation. And so he could let go of the temptations to grasp security, power, control, and specialness. This Lent, remember that you are beloved by God. And know that God is with you when you face temptation. You are beloved. Amen.